Miwa, Miwa and Napeom. Welcome to Paula Live Past and Present. This is Eric, and on the show today, I want to talk about some Kapeño location words and then follow it up with a song. And after that, I'll share a conversation with Mr. Donald Jameson of the Rincon Indian Reservation. Here's a sample of that conversation. Check it out.
And in the early days, there were lots of trilinguals, English, Spanish, and Indian at that Rincon. I'd ride with my white grandfather when I was five, like that, on a horseback with him in the back. Mm-hmm. And we'd stop by to see somebody, and they'd be talking in Spanish or in Indian. Once in a while, throw an English word in.
All right, there'll be more from Donald Jameson later on in the show. Now, on the show, we'll start with some words for today. The words for today are location words. Tukuchiao, tukuchiao, and t'au, t'au. And those words mean on top and on the bottom. Okay, start a conversation using tukuchiao, along with another location word, or should I say a location question word, mavu'au, mavu'au, which means where. So, start a conversation with mavu'au, mavu'au, meaning where, and to which you might respond, tukuchiao, tukuchiao, meaning on top. Or to introduce another word, kai, kai, that's Q-A-Y, kai, kai, which is a negative, or it means no or not. So you might respond with kai tukuchiao, which means not on top. However, if you want to get a more specific response, you might ask mavu'au tukuchiao, which means where on top. Okay, and that's will be one conversation. Now let's try the other word, t'au, t'au. That means on the bottom, on the bottom. You would say t'au. And then you might respond with or say something like, if you mean not on top but on the bottom, you would say kai tukuchiao, t'au. Kai tukuchiao, t'au, which means not on top, on the bottom. And of course, if you got somebody who can't understand you, which is probably me sometimes, mavu'au, and respond with t'au, on the bottom, t'au, on the bottom. And then you say where, or mavu'au, mavu'au, mean kai t'au, kai t'au, not on the bottom, not on the bottom. Or to get a more specific response, you would say mavu'au t'au, mavu'au t'au, which means where on the bottom, where on the bottom. Then they would say maybe kai t'au tukuchiao, kai t'au tukuchiao. That would mean not on the bottom, on top. Well, now you know you're just arguing. But anyway, this is part of using all these different phrases. So you'd say like maybe mavu'au, mavu'au, meaning where, and then you could respond with t'au, t'au, meaning on the bottom, on the bottom. Now you can see how much can be accomplished with just these words. And this is just, what, four words? Mavu'au, meaning where, tukuchiao, on top, t'au, on the bottom, and then kai. And kai meaning no, doubles everything. Because, you know, you say something's on top, something's on the bottom, then you say kai tukuchiao, kai t'au, not on top, not on the bottom. Well, that's enough for that. Let's see. Let's check into some real fun action. How about a good upbeat song from the Intertribal Bird Singers? And then after that, we'll talk a little bit about Donald Jameson, and then you could listen in on the conversation I had with Donald Jameson. So here we go with the Intertribal Bird Singers as they give us a good, upbeat, fun dance song. Ma, 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 ma Yeah, I like how they do that one. They got me to dance to that once, and they nearly wore me out. So, Donald Jameson, an elder from Rincon, he was a good friend of my dad's, Fernando Ortega. Many times I would hear Mr. Jameson speaking up at the Indian Health Clinic, just telling stories of his memories of the war, life on the reservation, and he never had anything bad to say about anyone. He seemed to be able to talk about things and people and events without really even bragging. He would laugh and just enjoy telling stories of his life. I would see him at Coupa days, and he would be entertaining others with his memories. When he was 90, I had the fortune of getting a chance to record a conversation with him, and he went home a couple of years later. But as he would say, let's not talk about his death, let's discuss his life, because it was exciting. Some might ask if his stories were true. Well, I can tell you that this... He had plenty of documentation, which included pictures, letters, and awards, and medals. The other thing is, when he was talking about being 5 years old, well, that was nearly 100 years ago. I can't even begin to think about checking the facts of those days. And unfortunately, there is no one around that was there to ask. So I'm sure he's now on the other side, and I know he's there talking with my dad and the other old ones, and they're telling stories and they're laughing. So I just say, let's sit back, enjoy the conversation, and here is Donald Jameson with some of his memories of the reservation.
What was your mom's name?
My mother?
Yeah.
My mother's name was Mary.
Mary?
Mary Galsh Jameson. And my father's name was Bert Jameson. And mom went to Sherman. And my dad went to Haskell in Kansas. That's where they met. And my dad was the quarterback, just like your dad. And he was the forward basketball, made all of the Missouri Valley. And he used to run the mile in 4:40, which was sensational in those days. And then he played baseball. He played professional baseball for the Los Angeles Angels. Yeah, I played there for a couple of years, and then they sold him to Cincinnati, and he wouldn't go. he went back to Oklahoma, took all of us. We went back to Oklahoma, and he joined with a group of men, and they formed what they call the Browns Indians. And they had some, I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not, but there was two boys who played for Pittsburgh, Lloyd and Paul Wiener. They were on his team, and my dad knew Vice President Curtis, who was an Indian from that area, and he's the one that got my dad a job first in Arizona at the Hualapai Reservation, where I was born. My sister was born there, and then that's when we moved out, and then he got a job at Sherman, and he was there at Sherman for many years. Then he was transferred to Sells down on the Papago Reservation.
Oh, I've been there.
He was there, and he had taught the Papagos different things and trades and sports and all that. Got them. Mm-hmm. That's when I was going to the University of Arizona. Then he retired in Tucson, and then came out to Sherman to a classmate of mine. And my dad was a cement mason. He had him building a sidewalk out of his house,
My dad had a heart attack and died right there.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And he's buried there next to my mother in Riverside. And my sister, she still lives in Rancho Bernardo.
How old is your sister?
She's 18 months older than I.
Really?
And I'm 90. I'm not allowed to say how old she is. That's a girl. And her boy, Mickey, he lives in Idaho.
Okay.
And she has a daughter, Donna, who lives with her. They live over here in Rancho Bernardo. Been there for years. Her husband passed away quite a few years ago, but he was retired Air Force. He had some very important jobs all over the country in the Air Force. He was a sergeant major, master sergeant, and so forth. Yeah, I've seen so many of our young boys that have grown up, just like we had this Freeman boy on our reservation, the artist. You ever seen his work?
Mm-hmm.
He's from there. His mother and dad went to Sherman. See, who else? Leo Kalak from Rincon has done a wonderful job. All those Kalak boys. Delisle and Don. And they had a sister, Lois, who was married to my best friend, Bruce Lubo. And Bruce was a wonderful, real, real all-American athlete. One of the best this country ever had in school. Bruce, he became an artist. An Indian artist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was good. I used to have quite a few of these pictures around here, but I gave them to the kids. But he had a big, big place in Palm Springs. Yeah. So we've had quite a few real famous people there at Rincon. I can remember one of my favorites was Damian Kalak. You ever heard of him? Damian was probably the most famous, in my opinion, of any Rincon. He was a medicine man. And I used to run a store at Rincon. People would come by and they'd buy things from me. I lived across the river, right beyond where the little Mazzetti store is there, up on the hill on the left.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen as many as 50 cars there from all over Arizona and California that would come, and he would treat them.
Oh.
Indian way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them. I remember one case especially. Station wagon drove up one day to get gas, and they had this guy in the background just like that, lying there. I thought he was dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took him over to Damian. And about an hour and a half, he came back and walked in the store. I couldn't believe it. That Damian was really, really something, you know. And I remember during the Korean War, I was recalled back to Fort Benning, Georgia first, before I went up to the CIA in Washington. And I am telling you, I didn't have enough money to bring my family back and all that. So I went to Damian in Pechanga. He went into a paper box like this he had, and I had done him some favors there. He used to bring him meat and brought all his customers. I'd send it to him. He gave me $5,000 in cash. You go to war. You come back. You don't get killed. Damian. And when I came back from the war, I brought him a beautiful, beautiful rifle.
Oh, there was a
beautiful
life.
Mauser, you know. He was so proud of that. And whenever he wanted to, I brought him some shells, so whenever he wanted something to eat, he'd give it to one of the boys, and they'd go out and get a deer and he'd eat his meat. But he was a real good man, that one, yeah. But he passed away. He had a... His old dad was McGill Kalak, and they lived there behind the Mazzetti store on the hill. And they had several children, and McGill was a very distinguished man. Never learned to speak English, only Spanish and Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early days, there were lots of trilinguals, English, Spanish, and Indian at that ring going. I'd ride with my white grandfather when I was five like that on a horseback with him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd stop by to see somebody and they'd be talking in Spanish or in Indian. You know, once in a while throw an English word in. Yeah. But there were so many of those nice, wonderful people that were there. Then at the right after the war, a family came in and bought a lot of the land right at the base of you know where Yuma is?
Yeah.
They were all around in that area for the oranges.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Indian boys worked there. Thurman McCormick worked there. Now Thurman's name was Mendoza. And all his kids remained there, Mendoza name. But he worked for a man by the name of McCormick. And so he changed his name to this man's name. So he went by Thurman McCormick. That was probably the difference. But as he grew up as a young man, it was Mendoza.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And let's see, who else was there?
Ditchy.
Oh, Ditchy.
Ditchy. Ditchy and he were brothers.
And then let's see who else. Then they had a Leonard Moreno. He was a brother, half brother to them. He was there. They had a nice adobe house there where they grew up. And then Aunt Sarah had a place back there that was Ditchy's aunt, right down the road, just a little ways. I don't know if the house is still there or not. But then she was married to a man by the name of Juan Sobanis, Francis was, her sister, Juan Sobanis. And then down where the clinic is now, there was a man who owned the little adobe there. His name was Bruno Sobanis. Now Bruno had a home there and a family, and he also had a family in La Jolla. When any of the Indian boys would have more than one girlfriend or two families, they always nicknamed him Bruno. Because Bruno had three sisters for wives. Yeah. He was quite a man, old Bruno was. And he had a boy named Romolo. Romolo's combination of sisters. Yeah, these are old Comies. Then they went across the river to Gregory Omish. Gregory at one time was the chairman of Ring Home. And he was one of the early chairmen. And he had a wife, and she had Helen, and she had two other daughters. And then she had one daughter from my grandfather. Her name was Lorraine. And I always used to kid me that my grandfather got around and had a lot of children.
Oh, yeah, I get around pretty good for 90. I don't get out there in those hills and hunt anymore. Some of the great hunters that I had the opportunity to hunt with were my Uncle Mark Walsh, Max Kalak from Rincon, who later married a girl in Palma and raised all those fine children, and Dr. Kalak from the doctor at Rincon is one of his grandsons.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
Dr. Dan.
Yeah. And the Forbeses were there. Forbes family. I grew up with Chris, the dad, and the mom was a sister of Max Kalak from Rincon.
Chris Forbes' mom?
Yeah. And there was Cleto and David and Christina, the children. And then there was the Powell family from Palma. Pavel. Sam, yeah. Pavel was one of the boys. And the Pachita family was from Palma. The Peters family. Les Wesley, and he had a brother, and
his dad, they were just fine people. They were, Mac, I think Mac had a, I forgot who Max Peters was married to. I think some gal from up around La Jolla or somewhere along there. And then up to the La Jolla Reservation, you had the Subishes. They were up there. And the Martinezes, Jim Martinez. And Jim had a sister, and she was married to a guy named Wallace Newman from there. Wallace was one of the great athletes at Sherman, and then he went to USC. Then he coached Whittier College.
Wallace Newman?
Wallace Newman was one of the great athletes from Sherman.
And he was from where?
From La Jolla. La Jolla. And then, of course, you get up into the Warner's Ranch area. Benny Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
From his hog reservation and his boys. And Nelda, his wife, she was from Mesa Grande. And my great-grandpa ended up at Mesa Grande, Montaweir, Santiago Duro,
mm-hmm.
That guy. Let's see who else. Then I, my white grandfather, he was married to a gal in Pechanga.
Oh, really?
In Pechanga, and he had two wives in Pechanga. two different families.
At the same time?
And they were both named both boys Frank. Frank Gulch.
So there's two Frank Gulches?
Two Frank Gulches. And then what other? Of course, this, and when you go into Pala, you go into the cemetery underneath the olive tree on the left. My great grandparents, Josephine and her husband, they were from Austria, but they were of Polish descent. Their original name was Golaszewski, G-O-L-A-S, C-H-E-S-K-I or something like that, Golaszewski. And they came around the horn all around the time of the gold rush in California, that long ago.
Oh, really?
And they settled first in Bonsall and then moved up to Pala. So I really have relatives or blood around so many different places in this area.
And different countries. Yeah. You probably have relatives over in Austria.
And then one of my real good buddies who taught me how to hunt, besides my Uncle Mark and my Uncle Jones Fish, he was married to my Aunt Rose Gulch, was Albert Banks from Pala. But Albert was originally from the Pechanga. But they were all good hunters. Julian Rodriguez, who lived at Pala, but he was actually from La Jolla. And there were so many men that I learned to hunt with and learned so much, which helped me so much during the war when I was in the Philippines. I'd gone in by submarine in the middle of the night on a little life raft, like you see in the old pictures. And that's where I met President Marcos of the Philippines. And we went in there and took my men with me, and we blew up roads and blew up bridges. And we were in there several months before the Americans came in. So I had a little thrill in there. I got shot at, I don't know how many times, but they never hit me.
That's always a good thing.
But I want to tell you, I had to change shorts several times. You see some of those pictures there. You see that one with President Johnson. And
can I bring that?
Yeah. President Johnson and President Marcos of the Philippines, And general, you see, that one, that's General Volkman right there. He's the guerrilla leader I took the supplies into. That's President Johnson, President Marcus, and that's his wife, Imelda, there. And that's Mrs. Johnson, Lady Bird.
Oh, okay.
And those are the guards there in the White House. That was the state dinner that the Johnsons gave for the Marcuses when Marcus was president of the Philippines.
That was Donald Jameson speaking about some of his memories on the reservation. He starts talking about his experiences with the war at the end of that conversation, and that would be World War II. He probably had some of his best memories about the war, but he also had some photographs of events that he had talked about. The last part of the conversation there, he was showing me a picture with President Johnson and himself, and he continues to talk more about the war, and I just felt that it was so much that it was enough for another show. So on another show, I will share Donald Jameson's memories of the war. For now, let's have a recap of the words for the day. The words of the day for this show were tukuchiao, which means that's on, which means on top, tukuchiao, tukuchiao, and t'au, which means on the bottom, t'au, and mavu'au, mavu'au, which means where, and kai, kai, which is the negative, which means no or not. And thanks for the again to the Intertribal Bird Singers for sharing another good song. On another show, I will share another part of the conversation I had with Donald Jameson and his memories about the war. If you have any feedback on the words and or the interviews, or if you have any comments, give us a call, 760-742-4200, or send an email to eortega@paulatribe.com. That's E-O-R-T-E-G-A @paulatribe.com. Until next show, this is Eric Ortega with Paula Life Past and Present saying so long for now. Have a good day. Bye. Thank you.